Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Health insurance made easy through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is a Thursday in April and it's rather beautiful here this morning. It's dry in most places as well. Not in Kerry, forever in the mist. But they love it there. They love the mist. Sorry, where was I? You're welcome to the show. Taris Jock, you know what to do in the WhatsApp. That's 087-032-3232. And you can also email Oliver at rte.ie. Come on in. Yes, this is a Vatican-free zone for the next hour. The saturation coverage is happily worldwide, that is, baiting now at the moment. It felt a little bit like we were living under the old empire for a while there, the last couple of days, didn't it? But no, no, not here in modern Ireland where, well, we've thrown those shackles off entirely. The church only controls 90% of our primary schools and owns billions in property and won't share redress, the share of the redress to its victims. Well, we showed them, didn't we? We sure did. Now, today on the show, another brilliant author from the golden age of Irish fiction writers. You usually don't know you're in a golden age until after it's happened, but we can tell right now. And inevitably, with so many debut novelists writing about the experience of being young and Irish, we finally get the coming of age GAA story. It's set in Mayo. It's written by a Galway man. John Patrick McHugh is risking it all, basically. And his book, Fun and Games, it's all about the currency of cruelty among young lads waiting for their Leaving Cert results one summer, slagging each other over everything from their mothers to their girlfriends, their college dreams. There's a family wedding thrown in, of course, and a sexting scandal as well. It is set in 2009, which was a big year of tunes, by the way, and a musical summer of news. Lady Gaga's first number one. Oasis split up, and they're only getting back together this year. And Michael Jackson died as well that summer. But it's also a very funny book, very funny novel, because where else would you hear a description where a fella gets into a nightclub with his fake ID and the description, he finds himself ecstatic to pay a tenner to a disgruntled woman. So that gives you the tone of the humour in it. It was an imagined Castlebar nightclub called Clowns, just so you know. I was also surprised, by the way, to learn that by 2009, according to this novel, the kids were still going to into the school physically in August to collect their paper results. I thought it was gone by 2009, 10 years after my time. But it does provide a dramatic moment in the story and it gives you an interior view of the young male mind, which means that it's fun but can be unpleasant at times, but it's entertaining and educational for the older heads of us among the readers. And for all your business today, by the way, 51551, that is the text. Now, young men have been enjoying cruelty for millennia, as we know, and that's why some men still think about the Roman Empire. But we have evidence of what the young fellas were up to 2,000 years ago, because we know from film and from ancient texts and marble reliefs and mosaics and so on that gladiators battled lions and other wild animals in the arena of the Roman Empire. We believed we knew, but in actual fact, there was never any direct physical evidence that they kind of fought lions in the Colosseum and other places like that. Until now. At last, the New York Times declares, proof of classical combat between man and beast has been found in the form of a skeleton from a Roman settlement in Britain and the evidence discovered by an Irish university. It is the first direct evidence of a gladiator that was mauled by a lion. I'll turn to the Irish Times version of this. First physical evidence of human-animal gladiatorial combat in the Roman period uncovered by a team of scientists led by a researcher based in Maynooth University. In fact, the coverage of this story around the world is curious because the headline of the Telegraph is York skeleton find is the first physical proof that gladiators fought lions. And it's all York, 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 University of York. But at the end, they do admit that Professor Tim Thompson from Maynooth University in Ireland, as one of the study authors, was very much primarily involved in the whole thing. So what did they discover? Well, in that York graveyard for gladiators, they found the remains of 80 individuals. It's a couple of years ago now, 20 years ago, in fact, this particular skeleton was discovered and they've been studying it. This is how long it takes to get to the facts of things. Nearly all of these skeletons were young men and many of their bodies showed signs of traumatic, violent injury. stories. They had one skeleton in particular they studied, identified by researchers as 6DT19. They found these indentations in the hip bones. And so lots of study, lots of research has discovered conclusively that they were bite marks, and they were bite marks of large mammals, probably a lion. And the hip bite isn't probably what killed this individual. One scientist says, we think the individual is incapacitated in some way. Then the animal came along, bit and dragged the body away by the hip bite. It is absolutely stunning fascination. It's evidence of life and culture in these far reaches of the Roman Empire. Two millennia ago, particularly how state violence was performed and indulged in as entertainment. It kind of never ceases to fascinate. Worldwide news everywhere this morning. In really good news, the weather has been just shocking all week, but fine days are coming. Now, we'll have to get through a few wet days first before we get to the good days, but bear with us. It's going to be rainy and miserable. Rain coming tomorrow, okay. The weekend now, don't be making any plans. Bit of a washout heading as well. There'll be flashes of sun, you know, the blinding April sun that's no good to anyone. And you run out, you try to do a bit of gardening, and then you're soaked again. Good times are coming. When? The heat is coming back with us next week. A deep area of low pressure is pulling the jet stream north, which is letting high pressure build and bringing glorious warm air across the country. We're looking basically toward nice warmer conditions. Get your sandals out. Don't wear your socks because temperatures in some parts could reach into the low 20s. That is scorchio in terms of this country. And Meteorin's extended forecast says the dry sunshine is due to stay until around the 19th of May. With all the usual caveats that they can't properly tell everything only 5 days in advance. There you go. But the hope is around the bend. That's all you have to before the rain drives you around the bend. Of course, the parents are going, why couldn't we have it this week when we had the kids at home? Now, in the slightly alarming news, the Irish Examiner's farming section this morning tells us that seed potatoes are in short supply. Why? Brexit. What? I thought we got over that whole thing. We no longer rely on the British market. We're now all European focused, and if they going into recession, as they appear to be in the UK, won't drag us down like it normally does. Since Brexit, Stephen Cadogan, that's a Cork name if ever there's one, tells us the importation of seed potatoes into the EU from Britain is prohibited by plant health regulations from Brussels. Before Brexit, significant quantities of seed potatoes have been imported into Ireland from Scotland. I didn't know this. The loss of this source now means that Irish growers of the processing varieties have found it very difficult to source sufficient seed potatoes for planting in 2025. Now, these varieties are for chipping and crisping. This could lead to a shortage of both chips and crisps in the country that would tear the social fabric of our nation like nothing else. The UK and EU are still haggling over various areas, and this includes seed potatoes. Relations are improving, of course, Labour government in place over beyond. But unfortunately, another planting season is passing through without a breakthrough on this particular issue, and Brexit is leaving even British growers short of seeds. So they've a shortage over there. They're not going to send them over here this way. And it's trouble. It's basically trouble. Both the UK and EU potato industries are anxious for mutually beneficial compromises between them to restore bilateral trade in seed potatoes. I can't believe after centuries where we learned the British starved us and stole our food, all this time we were reliant on the Brits for spuds. I mean, it's just, no wonder Kneecap are doing so well out there at the moment. By the way, this reminds me of another story which I read the other day in the Wall Street Journal. And it's about Trump tariffs tilting the scales in the Coke versus Pepsi battle. It's the battle of the big cola brands in America. And Pepsi basically has already been losing the cola wars. Coca-Cola has always been on top, but the trade war has made it much worse for them. It all comes down, this newspaper tells us, to where PepsiCo and Coca-Cola make the secret recipe, and it remains a secret recipe, the concentrates that are the main ingredient of the fizzy drink, the minerals. Concentrates are made in special facilities, then shipped to bottling plants where they're combined with water, bubbles and sweetener to make the soda, as they call it in America, the kind of sugary sludge that turns the whole thing black and so on. And PepsiCo, more than 50 years ago, began making the concentrate. The reason for this basically is the concentrate for all of the US sales of Pepsi and Mountain Dew is now subject to a 10% tariff. Why? Because it's made exclusively in Cork. PepsiCo relies on Little Island in Cork. Ballythrasna is actually the townland that they make it. Coca-Cola for decades also produces concentrate in Ireland and shipping it around the world. But more recently, they made the concentrate for the American minerals in Atlanta and Puerto Rico, which is US territory. That means that they are less exposed to the tariffs, and PepsiCo is going down. So there you go. I thought you'd be interested in that one now. By the way, speaking of the tariffs, on the same newspaper, the Wall Street Journal this morning, Trump meets his match, the markets. The president's policies have been met with core challenges, dipping poll numbers, political opposition at home. But the only force that has reliably prompted him to climb down is Wall Street. Also China, by the way, but he is climbing down very fast on the tariffs. And Wall Street Journal and the Republican outlets are cheering that. He will have to sell it as some sort of win, of course. He'll be thinking now at the Pope's funeral about how to sell that as a win. But that's what's going on in the trade wars. China has won this round for sure, because he says he's going to reduce the tariffs because he got very powerful indeed. Even sent Boeing jets back to America. So the war, trade war, is real and it's having its effect. Speaking of kneecap, I mentioned there, the Ivor Novello Awards are probably the most prestigious songwriting awards in the world. And they've announced the nominees, and Irish acts Fontaines DC, Orla Gartland and Kneecap are among the nominees by the Ivors Academy. There's the British Awards, but they're worldwide. They're nominated. Fontaines DC and Orla Gartland nominated for Best Song, and musically and lyrically, for In the Modern World, that's Fontaine's song, and Mine. And the box office hit Kneecap is among the nominees in the Best Original Film Score category. So more and more good news. U2 is also going to become Ivor Academy Fellows at this year's ceremony, which all happens in May. U2 will follow Paul McCartney, Elton John and Springsteen and Kate Bush and others. Massive Irish interest at those awards for sure. The text says, as a parent of a child off school this week, why is the sun waiting until next week to come out? Well, it's all connected to the sun orbitals and the leaving cert weather and schools. It's well known fact that the planet that gives life on this, the star that provides life on this planet, is entirely dictated by the Irish education system. You know this by now. There you go. Oh, can I do one little bit of Pope news? Because I mentioned Conclave every single day this week. It's official. Everybody's watching Conclave. It tripled, basically. Viewership of the Conclave film tripled on the day of Pope Francis's death. And people also started watching The Two Popes, starring Jonathan Pryce and Anthony Hopkins. 2019, that was. A very good film as well. That saw a 417 spike on streaming places. 300,000 minutes watched on Sunday to 1.5 million. These are British figures, but they generally tend to lump us in with them, basically. So there you go. That's, people are watching that with massive interest, for sure. Of interest to Heather Humphreys in the presidential race, Frances Fitzgerald has ruled herself out of seeking the Fine Gael nomination. Sean Kelly is still pondering the presidency. I think he's the oldest of the candidates, isn't he, thinking about it at the moment. Frances Fitzgerald was down at 3% in polls. Sean Kelly's only 4%. So he'll be thinking what to do. And yeah, there's runners and riders in there. It's 200 days out from the presidential election, but we're talking about it already. 51551, by the way, is the text. Yeah, the novel we're talking about this morning is set in 2009. It was a good, decent enough year for music, I have to say. The WhatsApp as well, 087 032 32 32. Good morning, it's Thursday.